couple personnel-related announcements. The first is an introduction of a new staff person in our cannabis program, and that is Josh Luters. And Josh is an engineer, and we're very pleased to have him join our staff. In addition, I wanted to announce that we have, as you'll recall, Rebecca Fitzgerald left our agency to this, got a promotion to the state board, and we have now filled her position. That's this for the, as the senior of the adaptive management unit, and Catherine Carter is the new senior environmental scientist. And so we're very pleased. Catherine's been with our agency for many, many years, and great to have her stepping into this new role. She's not here today. She's at State Board at a meeting related to monitoring, which is one of the functions in her unit. I also wanted to announce that we have made one offer that's been accepted and soon to make two additional offers to fill the remaining vacancies in our cannabis program. And to announce that in the governor's budget, we've been authorized as for the new fiscal year to get 8 new additional positions for the cannabis program. So that's gonna bring to a total number of positions related to cannabis of 17. So we're in the process of considering how to do some reorganization for our office, and it's likely that we're going to have a new division with a new division chief, and that division will largely be, primary function will be our cannabis regulatory program and our enforcement compliance assurance unit. In addition, we were very pleased to that we're going to receive one additional PY position for our agricultural lands program. A budget change proposal was approved for 5 additional positions statewide, and we lobbied hard and were successful in getting one of those 5 is going to come to the North Coast region. So that position is going to really allow us now to in earnest to develop our vineyard and orchard permit over the next couple of years.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Mr. Jussi.
Matt, thank you for that. I realize that the floodgates of cannabis are opening and you're getting a lot of positions, but at the end of the day, cannabis is just another irrigated commodity, and I realize that the source of money for the irrigated lands program and the cannabis program come from different pots. But there's lots of irrigated agriculture that's not related to marijuana. And at some point in the future, might these personnel positions be melded? So when things settle down, it might be 4 or 5 years out, but in some way to make sure that the distribution of resources is spread equitably across all irrigated agriculture. Again, not to treat one specially forever. Right now, again, as I said, floodgates are opening, everybody's trying to catch up. But when things become more institutionalized, might that happen?
Yes. And having said that, we are a fee-supported organization, and it is the expectation that the fee payers for one program pays for that program and not others. But with that said, our primary mission, of course, is protecting water quality, and so we use the resources that we have as best we can. But you're pointing out that 17 positions for cannabis and 1 position
right.
for the rest
exactly.
of ag.
Yeah.
And based on acreage, does that make sense? Well, no.
Right.
Based on threat to water quality, does that necessarily make sense? Probably not. But we're doing the best we can with the research.
No, I understand. I'm just thinking, you know, at some point, it's very feasible that somebody may have a plot of cannabis and have a plot of vineyard. So you're going to have one person showing up for this thing. Sorry, I can't talk to you over there. It just, again, as things settle out, realities will change,
absolutely.
I guess. And we'll have to mature in our approach. But that's all.
And boots on the ground, you know, the way our staff work, when they're out on a site, they're looking. They're not just looking with the narrow view of just their program. They're looking at it from a comprehensive water quality standpoint.
Mr. Corbett. I want to reaffirm Mr. Gusti's comment. I think the more ag is ag, the better it will be, just overall for the system. Mm-hmm. We do have our other agricultural activities with the same effects in our permit. I actually think you may want to think of redrafting our permit in the context of the initiative, the state board permit, and us looking, do we want to have a separate one sort of for all the above that aren't covered, or how we want to approach that. But I think that's a good comment. Let me ask you a question. How many of the people are assigned to aerial surveillance and mail?
I'm sorry, can you repeat?
Out of the 17 positions, how many are assigned to aerial surveillance with mail follow-up and enforcement through that mechanism?
Josh Curtis in the room. I don't know if we have a perfect answer for that, but we can give it a shot.
Good morning, this is Josh Curtis of your staff. So we'll have 10 positions and 2 seniors that have under their purview the regulatory program, so not as much of the enforcement side, more of the regulatory side, although they will be doing some of both. In those programs are reviewing aerial surveillance, is the enrollment enforcement process, which we've already initiated and will continue. And so those staff, so you'll be looking at 10 staff with 2 seniors, so the 2 units that are doing that work under them.
And I'm sorry, how many was that?
10 staff and 2 supervisors.
Are going to be working on aerial?
They're going to be, all of them will have the responsibility under them of doing some amount of aerial review for any of the sites they're looking at inspecting and the enrollment enforcement process.
And then when are our first contracts expected to be actually flying a plane?
So that I don't have that information.
Okay.
So
and I want to say, I think by the time we launch our aerial program, the market will make it unnecessary. But in 4 years, we've been unable to fly anything over a garden. And
well, that's not actually.
Well, Mad River was arranged by myself and was paid for by another agency. I don't know, you can go through them, but I had trouble finding anyone that wasn't volunteered to us, where people were begging us to do it. But my real point is now the market's changing, and I wouldn't be surprised, because it's coming out more open, why go out in the hills when you can hook up to a water line? So it may, in the end, prove to be moot after 4 years, but all I can say is I think we are where we are, but it's been a long time coming with multiple staff increases and not so much in the air.
So we, as we've reported before, we cooperate closely with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, which does have planes, and we've in several instances have used their services for surveillance, and then we use Google imagery all the time.
Good.
So the Google imagery is a standard practice. We use that constantly, and we actually have the more recent NAEP imagery, which we use as well, and so that's used every day in our program.
Did we get over the legal hurdle that some people thought that wasn't detailed enough, that was only to target an aerial as opposed to being an actual aerial?
We got the interpretation that we can use that imagery for enforcement cases.
Good.
There's a limit to the progressive enforcement process where that imagery no longer, you need some level of on the ground or more direct visual knowledge of that site as you move down the progressive enforcement process. So early on with the mailings and some of those efforts, no, that imagery is fine. But once we get towards, you know, looking at an ACL or something to that point, just using Google imagery or NAEP imagery isn't appropriate.
So with 17 positions, are we looking at a satellite office closer to where the customers are up in Eureka somewhere?
We are looking into that, yeah.
Yeah, and the travel cost I can see just escalating.
The nothing moves quickly in government, and developing a whole new office is definitely in that category of it does not move fast quickly. Shin Ray has been our champion on that effort, working with the Division of Administrative Services, but then also with the Department of General Services, the overall state agency that deals with purchasing or leasing of buildings. It's a multi-year process, and the positions that we're filling now. And so our announcements will be that they are positions to be housed here in Santa Rosa, but we're hoping that the vacancy announcements will give some language to say that they may be transferred or have the have the opportunity to move in the future.
Okay, so it's in the process, and I know it's going to take a
absolutely
long time, but
yeah,
we're moving. The wheels are turning. Good. Thank you.
And I'd like to reaffirm Kelly's comment on that. That's been a longstanding comment from the regional board, and we almost had it 7 years ago, and it was right up, and we even had property that could have been leased, and for various reasons it got pulled, and I think it would be wise to follow the Central Valley Board model and have a field office.
Might I suggest we have a check-in back in cannabis in the near future? I don't know between now and the end of the year what we have on calendar. Obviously, whenever we talk about cannabis, and it is fast-changing right now on all fronts, that we have a check back in anytime we talk about it, whether it be staffing positions, by the way, of 17 new staff people. I got to imagine that's a 15 to 20% increase in staff in this building alone, which is one of the biggest increases I think I've ever known. Josh, I think you got the tiger by the tail here. And that as that goes, you know, trying to figure this out on the fly is how it's kind of been done. And as we go as a board, obviously, anytime we get close to this, there's interest and there's opinions and things that maybe could or should be done. So checking back in is good.
Absolutely.
Great. All right. I think that came from a ex parte discussion. So any other ex parte? Not seen any. Let's move on to public forum. Public forum is a time for anybody that wants to address